if you're feeling tension in some area of your life, trust that it's there for a reason. Maybe you'll look at it a little bit different and say, that's the lesson I'm going to face. Plant a seed of strength. Trust yourself that you have the strength, the inner strength to overcome whatever that might be in your particular life. We can't guess that, but you know within.
Because you fight in yourself. And so, like, embody the version of yourself that can overcome the version of yourself that you're overcoming. Hey, everyone. Welcome. My name is Tiani.
And I'm Taylor.
And you're listening to Inner Orbit, your tool for navigating the energetic world around you.
Welcome back. Over the last few episodes, we've been talking about a lot of things that have happened, all the generational planets that have moved. We've talked about how the transits that are happening impact you personally. Mm-hmm. Where are we going to take all that today?
Yeah, so today we are going to talk about retrograde energy. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the dance that planets do when they're just transitioning in and out of different signs. And then we're also going to talk about seed planting for the upcoming year. Yay. So this is a really exciting episode. I think we should just jump right into it.
Let's jump right in, starting with those retrogrades.
Yes. Okay. So this is one of those beautiful things about astrology. There's so many different interpretations to what retrograde energy is.
Yeah.
How did you learn about retrograde energy and what do you feel like that is for you?
I feel like I'm still unpacking it. Like, I think most people hear about Mercury retrogrades. Like, even the most non-woo-woo, non-astrological person you know probably talks about Mercury being in Gatorade.
Right? That's my favorite one. Yeah. Or Mercury being in microbraids.
Yeah.
I love that one.
So everyone, most people have heard that. They know that's when things go wonky and they're like, I don't know why or how. Mm-hmm. Later, I've come to learn that there's a couple different things. Mm-hmm. When they talk about Mercury being in retrograde, correct me if I'm wrong, Tiani, it's usually the planet appears to be going in the opposite direction.
Yes.
It appears to be.
From the vantage point of the Earth.
Yes.
Yes. The planet does not move backwards, but from just where we are stationed on this planet, when you take a look in the sky, it just looks like the planet is moving backwards. And I think we are not scientists, so I think that's a good enough. But go look it up.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. That works for us.
And Mercury is definitely not the only planet that retrogrades, right? No.
It's the one that does it most commonly. I think we get like 4 cycles a year. So
It feels like it's always happening.
Right. Yeah. It feels like just as you end a Mercury retrograde cycle, you're just like ramping up for another one. Yeah. I get a little bit like tense whenever Mercury is not retrograding because I'm like, I hope I can get everything done that I need to get done before this bitch goes retrograde again. We have planets like all of the planets retrograde. Venus retrogrades a few times a year too.
And those ones hit.
They be hitting.
Yeah.
They be hitting. I think sometimes people are afraid of retrograde energy, but it's really just an opportunity energetically. You're taken back in time to a loop. Energetically, and it's the opportunity for you to address maybe some loose ends that you hadn't during that specific cycle or time. And that's why they suggest that you don't start new things during retrograde periods.
Yes.
Because you're using recycled old energy and you don't want to plant seeds in like old dirt.
Yes.
You know?
Some good advice I've gotten to feel good about the retrogrades is like, if you view anything that happens as a gift, you will use it as a gift. Mm-hmm. So I was told use retrograde periods, especially Mercury ones, for revision.
Yeah.
Review.
Yeah.
Slow down. So if you're going to publish something, to your point, maybe don't publish it that day, but it's extra time to edit, review, catch mistakes you might not have caught otherwise.
Yeah.
If you're going to launch a website, maybe wait, make sure you have like the right amount of storage and all the things that you need to launch. So it's a good review period. So sometimes the universe is giving you the gift and saying, not yet.
Yeah. This is the time. And that's really a gift because it's like, if you were to start new things without all of the upgrades or information, like your best outcome would not be favorable or suitable.
No.
Like, yeah, absolutely. What a gift. What about whenever outer generational planets go like retrograde? Mm-hmm. So then we see that revision happen on a collective scale.
Interesting.
Right? We see like whenever it's in someone's like natal chart as well, that person has that energy more introspectively than expressed outwardly. Mm. So it's like you don't interact with situations or scenarios manifested in the material plane, a lot of that turmoil or challenge happens internally. So for example, like we'd see during a Venus retrograde, you're really getting a snapshot of your relationships, cycles that you are having, not just in a romantic sense. It could also be with your money. How are you spending your money? Do you need to change your relationship with money? Your working relationships, even your romantic relationships. It's not favorable to start new partnerships during Venus retrograde because, again, you're just going into something new with this older mindset. And there's usually a lesson to learn during a retrograde period. Yeah. And if you're so focused on escaping your current reality for a new one, you might really miss out on some important data that you need within that cycle and season, because usually what you want prior to retrograde season is not what you end retrograde season wanting.
Yeah.
Because now you have the information to make a better decision.
Yes.
Yes.
And that was my experience the most recent Venus retrograde, because I used the time intentionally, which I don't think I always have.
Mm. Yeah. How did you, like, give us an example if you want to go into it? Do you mind?
I just paid attention. I paid extra attention during that time to, like, the shadows that came up in my life around love and relationships and self-worth. I remember being like, this is happening. And it's funny because I actually, when I knew this was happening, I was like, I've got no issues. Again, it always happens. And then throughout that time period, I was like, oh gosh, these like weird feelings are coming up that don't feel great. And I journaled and I like looked those things straight in the eye. Mm-hmm. And I felt like this is a good time, because I knew I wanted to focus on relationships later on that year. It's like, this is a good time to get my head straight about this.
Yeah.
If I ever want to be in a relationship. So I remember being really grateful for the information about the Venus retrograde, because I was able to work through some shadows.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
You like took your time.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, like, disclaimer with that too is like all of the planets retrograde.
Yeah.
Mercury, Venus, Mars, all of that. And just going back to understanding what those planets represent. When the planets go retrograde, look up your birth chart and see the sign in which that planet currently is, where it's retrograding. That is the place that it will affect you within the specific house that that sign has rulership over in your birth chart.
Yeah. So great disclaimer. Retrogrades are not all that painful. They're a gift, and all planets retrograde.
Mm.
And that's different, right? That retrograde's a little bit different than that kind of like planetary dance that the planets will do when they're shifting, making a major shift. Like we talked about all those generational planets recently that have shifted.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about that and what's different about that dance?
So in our episodes where we gave the energetic forecast of the current year, and we talked about signs, planets moving into different signs, that was us describing the initial point of movement. Planets will move forward into signs, then they'll transition back into the signs that they previously were in, then move forward and then come back until they're stationed directly in that sign for a consistent long period of time.
Yes.
It may be confusing, but when we think about the pattern of how energy and transformation works, even just within us humans, if we take the saying, sometimes I feel like I take 5 steps forward, then 10 steps back, then 20 steps forward. That's what the planets are doing. Healing is not linear. Understanding information is not linear, but it is on an upward curve if you put that effort into it. And so we look at the rhythm of how energy works when you're going through a transformation. What do you do even when seasons change? What happens? Summer transitions into fall. One day it's 90 degrees outside, the next day it's 70, then the next day it's 85, then the next day it's 65. And so that's what those planets are doing. It's like, hey, I'm getting ready for this leap. I'm also going to give you some information on the potency on what this energy is going to bring. So for example, Saturn moving into Aries was in Aries for a few months before it transitioned back into Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
Being at that 0 degree point, and that's something we'll get into in a separate season, but being at that 0 degree point, or being at that potent energy of Aries, that's lets you know this is what you're going to experience for the length that I'm in Aries at the mo- at the highest potency point. But while I'm in Aries for a few years, you're going to get this elongated version of what this energy is like. So you get a preliminary snapshot as it's continuing to transition, which during those periods, you are transitioning. So it's a good regulation for your nervous system to get ready for the lessons and the blessings that you are about to encounter. So it's great preparation.
And so that's part of why 2025 has felt so intense, because we're getting so much of that initial dance.
Yes.
We're getting that initial like, oh my God, well, I didn't expect a 65 degree weather day.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I don't have the right clothes.
Yes. Yes. I need to change.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to you, your whole wardrobe is different now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really helpful, because I think a lot of people don't like, if you don't understand transits to begin with, you especially don't know this like back and forth energy to expect. Mm. But now as we think about heading into 2026, a lot of this energy is eventually going to ground, right? It's eventually going to what we call station direct. Mm-hmm. It is in it for the long haul, right? Like Pluto is in Aquarius for 20 years. And then it does the little dance again at the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah. As it's transitioning out of a sign, it'll still do that rhythm and dance because it needs to get ready to like, I'm ready to jump ship and move on. Are we done?
So the thing with these transits, we went over that whole episode. I'd link the episode about global transits. And the takeaway is it's not one and done. When we say Saturn moved into Aries, Neptune moved, they moved, they went back. Mm-hmm. And today we're not going to belabor all those exact dates. What we are going to talk about is we're moving into 2026.
Yeah.
It is a new year. A lot of the energy we talked about on the episode continues to color next year. Mm. So it's all very much so still relevant. But instead of it hitting us in the face, we are grounding into it. We're kind of accepting that this is the energy around us. Mm-hmm. So what seeds are we going to plant? Like we, knowing that this is happening, knowing this is the forecast, what are we packing for next year?
Yeah.
And setting ourselves up best individually and collectively to make the most of it. It's happening.
Yep.
Let's get ready. Let's buckle up. And so I know today we'll delve into a lot. Should we start with eclipses?
I think so.
I'm kind of realizing there's a similar energy between retrogrades and eclipses, which we don't want to march forward and take intense action during those times, right? Mm-hmm. This is a moment to observe.
Yes.
Would you say so?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like be more receptive and reflective during eclipse season, because like that's usually a wrapping up of energy. I like to say it's like your big quantum leap. Mm-hmm. It's letting you know we're leaping into another reality, like buckle your ass up type thing. Do not plant new seeds during eclipse season. It's not recommended. You know what? You said this on a separate episode about just being more receptive to the energy that's showing up. Curious. Mm. Be curious and observant.
The eclipse season starts early on in the year, which is kind of nice because it gives us a moment to like just feel all the energy, all this new energy around us starting February 17th. We're still all going to be getting used to all these shifts, the Pluto and Aquarius, Neptune and Saturn and Aries, Uranus and Jupiter, like all these things. We're getting used to these shifts. Mm-hmm. So it's an extra good time to let's just feel how it feels. Use that as data and information gathering to make decisions later on.
Yes.
At least that's how I'll use it.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to use eclipse energy.
Yeah.
And so with eclipses and things, just like all of astrology, where you live, where you're geographically positioned, that will affect the specific date that you experienced an eclipse. Mm-hmm. So the dates that we're giving are definitely from like a US-based type of date, but depending on where you are, that might be a little bit different, you know, as we're recapping this information from a previous episode and things like that. So let's talk about the first eclipse that we are going to experience in 2026. Early on this year, February 17th, we get a solar eclipse in Aquarius. Mm. I think that is very pivotal with that Pluto in Aquarius energy.
Yeah.
The energies are supporting a shift, putting the power back into the hands of the people. Mm-hmm. You should be at that time investigating again power dynamics. How can I change individually to show it better for my community? But then we may also be getting maybe a rebranding in the use of technology around that time as well.
Yeah.
So again, not getting into predictive things of that nature or anything, but maybe that eclipse is fostering more ethical use of AI, our technology. I keep talking about this, but like build better cars, please, our public transportation or something of that nature. So maybe those are themes that we'll see coming out of that new eclipse supporting that.
And I guess a note on that is eclipses are just the reputation is that they're chaotic and they have that reputation for a reason. So while I agree with everything you're saying, I think ultimately all these things bring these things, but there might be a feeling of turbulence to get there, right? There might be a glitch. There might be an AI issue that prompts an AI fix. Like, again, we're not predictive at all. There's really no way to predict it, but looking at the energies, there could be some kind of thing that makes us feel weird or bad or something that goes wrong that makes us then change what we're going to do moving forward. Mm. So that is where eclipse energy gets funky. That's why people say buckle up, take care of yourself during eclipse season, drink your water, hydrate, go to sleep early, like do all the things that keep you as whole and good as you can possibly be so you can ride that wave, take that information and go do something good with it.
Yes.
So it's like they are meant to foster all the things you just said, and it might do so by showing us what's missing.
A shadow. You're going to be challenged. No, you are so right. Because, like, do you ever feel just irritable during eclipse seasons?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And even when I think I don't. Like, truly, I think there are times where I'm like, oh, well, everyone's told me to be the eclipse happened and it will get me. Like, I'll get so tired. Cancer moon, I'm tied to the moon extra, but I feel like for everyone I know, something funky happens.
Yeah.
You're hungrier, you're more tired. Something's just a little off.
It's going to be off. Yeah. And if you're ever, I experience that too, where sometimes an eclipse happens and I don't even know it's an eclipse day. And I was like, made it through that. And then 3 days later, I'm mad. And I'm just like, okay.
Because it's eclipse season, right? It's like,
I love how you say that.
It's not the day of it. It's like it opens a portal, right? So it's like, if this starts February 17th and that next one is March 3rd, that whole time period is part of that eclipse season. So February 17th to March 3rd of 2026, that will be colored by this eclipse.
With that information, I think that's a great segue into talking about pre and post shadow really quickly.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what you were describing.
Yeah.
What is pre and post shadow for any type of transit, but especially eclipse?
You feel that feeling before and after.
Yeah.
I mean, as simply put as that, it's the dates themselves matter, but that energy lingers and it comes before and it comes after. Would you say there's a little bit of a different flavor to the pre and post than the actual energy itself?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll say personally.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, because like with pre, it's like I can smell this in the air. Mm-hmm. Why do I feel off?
Yeah.
And then post, it's more of like a, my goodness, like I made it. You need a, like when you exercise, you have a warm up and then you need to cool down.
Yeah.
And that's pre and post shadow is your warm up and your cool down.
I remember that with Mars retrograde.
You felt
2025.
That?
Yeah. It's like, I was like, ooh, I felt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I feel that mostly during eclipse season. Mm-hmm. Again, before I even know that an eclipse is coming, sometimes I'm like a little irritable beforehand or my dreams are like weird. And I'm like, what's going on?
And of course, we planned our podcast recording for eclipse season.
Yeah, here we are.
Astrologers really using the astrology.
We were in a portal yesterday. didn't even know. And it was like, oh, that was such a great day of recording. Yeah. Yeah. So we're all up in the portal. But our next eclipse, let's just like get into that as well. That one is happening March 3rd of 2026. Here we have the total lunar eclipse in Virgo. Very interesting eclipse there.
Yeah.
We saw some movements in Virgo from 2025, also a lot happening in 2026. Mm-hmm. South node things that we talked about in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. And so you have this very interesting take on what is collectively happening with the energy of Virgo that I really enjoy listening to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a letting go of old baggage, personal and collective. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how Virgo is very, like, kind of controlling, holding on to facts, holding on to details. Maybe there's some shadows there, but there are definitely things that we all can, like, take a deep breath on and let go of. Mm-hmm. I think this eclipse, if you haven't started that process, might force it.
Yeah.
So that's why these things are also good to pay attention to, because it will happen. Like, all these things will happen. The energies will come at you. So the more you're participating in that letting go, the smoother it will feel for you, most likely.
Yeah.
So yeah, those things that you want to let go of, the martyrdom, the like, I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders, that kind of self-flagellation that we all are capable of doing, letting some of that go, doing so beforehand will probably, in my humble opinion, make this particular eclipse feel a bit lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like that has been a theme for quite some time, especially with the South Node in Virgo currently as we're filming.
Yeah.
In September of 2025.
Yeah. There's, you know, the eclipse on September 21st, 2025.
Yeah. Is
Virgo.
Virgo. And so there's a lot of these Virgoan themes around, like you're saying, perfectionism, micromanaging, martyrdom that's being addressed and then released. So we can kind of move maybe towards that sister sign energy of maybe having that freedom of expression and creativity and bringing in something a little bit new. Now that we've identified the issues of our collective society, now maybe we can imagine a better future. And so the next eclipse that we'll go into in 2026 happens on August 12th. We have our solar eclipse in Leo. Right on the curtails of that, we have our partial eclipse in Pisces. We'll definitely talk more about that as we get closer.
Yeah, that's deep enough into 2026. Let's one day at a time.
Now that we know what 2025 has looked like, what 2026 may energetically bring, let's give some tools on some seeds to plant.
Yes.
What do we do with this energy now?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're grounding into it. How do we want to make the most of it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So with Pluto moving into Aquarius last year, and we're going to feel that energy for the next 2019 years. So a seed to plant, at least for the upcoming year, I think is really important would be forgiveness. I think because, as we talked about before, this energy is allowing you to let go of your power dynamics, your resentments, things of that nature. You need forgiveness to create that clean slate to allow for transformation to happen. So I think that is an imperative seed to carry with that specific type of energy.
I love that you say that, because I actually don't think that's talked about enough with this energy. I think people are just so focused on all the future transformation that's going to happen and not really realizing that forgiveness and letting go is how you get to the future, letting go of the past. Otherwise, if you don't have forgiveness as like an intermediary step, you're bringing the past with you.
Exactly.
We're trying to, at Inner Orbit, we care about not looping forever and ever and ever. And so a genuine forgiveness, maybe for ourselves, for our family, for whoever in your life, for your community, is a really important step. Yeah. I wish more people talked about that, because we're so focused on building this future. But how do we do that without bringing the worst from our past with us?
Exactly. And that means you need to look at the past sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's a very Plutonian thing. And that's why secrecy comes up during that period. And so definitely during that transit, like we've talked about before, we're going to be experiencing a lot of visualizations of the shadows that we haven't been comfortable with before. So it's going to feel uncomfortable. And prior to being able to forgive other people, I think there may be a lot of internal forgiveness first that needs to happen. And then you'll be able to teach that mechanism to other people. Does anybody have like a course on forgiveness? Like,
as you were talking, I was thinking of this meditation I did by Dr. Shauna Shapiro on forgiveness. I'll link it below. Because I did have a month where I was like, I'm going to work on forgiving, you know, as part of like a grief process. And in the meditation, it asks you, you know, who have you hurt? It asks you, how have you hurt yourself? And then it gets to the person that you're trying to forgive. But it's reminding you that you are also capable of hurting other people. And most importantly, you're capable of hurting yourself. And I did that meditation, I want to say every day for a month, to cement forgiveness of particular things. But I remember the first time hearing it, being moved to tears, realizing, I didn't realize until I heard those words, how upset with myself I really was. And then like, by the time you get to that part of the meditation about forgiving someone else, you're like, how could I even hold on to this resentment when I've hurt myself more?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is profound.
Yeah.
Please link it.
Linked. Okay. Chloe.
So another movement that we'd like to also get into would be Neptune into Aries. What is the seed?
So reminder on that one, Neptune, we got our Delulu friend, but also our friend of like the highest aspirations and spiritual and love and all like the beauty, beauty. But we don't want to forget about the Delulu element. We want to stay aware and moving into Aries, which is impulsively acting. So we love the word discernment here. It's actually one of my favorite words of all time.
Okay.
And discernment means like using wisdom to be selective about where you place your energy and things you follow. And we want discernment to combat the Delulu.
Yeah.
Right? Discernment will combat the Delulu so that you can use the inspirational feeling of Neptune for its highest good.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You move past the paranoia and begin to trust yourself.
Yes.
When you have internal trust, it's not about searching for it externally.
Yeah.
When you have internal trust, then you can trust the things that you attract into your life and you have this uninhibited creativity that you've unlocked within yourself.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, we sometimes were a little nervous, Neptune being paired with Aries, but the beauty of Aries is that you can act. Right?
Yes.
So if you want to bring these things into action, like, okay, you've been inspired for forever, but you don't do anything about it. You don't launch the podcast. You don't write the book. You don't whatever. This is actually an energy that can help you act if you use discernment
wisely. If you have the discernment.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Yeah. I love that. Now moving on in terms of Saturn moving into Aries, as we talked about Saturn being in its fall, in Aries, where we have this collective responsibility of your reputation, what you've already built, in Aries being a little bit more impulsive and self-identifying, and more like me, 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 you're going to be addressing a lot of ego deaths, identity shifts. And you said this earlier, where it's kind of just like, choose your lesson. This time, you know you're already going to have them. At least give yourself thinking that you have control over it. So like, choose your fighter right now. You, what did you call it before? You said,
I say run into the fire. I say, you know, choose a lesson, choose the growth edge that you want to face. If you're feeling tension in some area of your life, trust that it's there for a reason. Maybe look at it a little bit different and say, that's the lesson I'm going to face this next year. And give yourself time. No one learns anything in a day. Things will come all throughout the year to help you understand that lesson from 10,000 different angles. But choose it. Choose your fighter.
Yeah.
Like, plant a seed of strength. Trust yourself that you have the strength, the inner strength to overcome whatever that might be in your particular life. We can't guess that, but you know within.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, choosing your fighters, choosing who you're, because you fight in yourself. And so like, embody the version of yourself that can overcome the version of yourself that you're overcoming, essentially. And so didn't we give you homework about envision the highest version of yourself? Choose that one. That's your fighter.
Yes.
For this one. Plant the seed of that, of that embodiment.
That's
I love that. Okay. Where's our next one?
We got our favorite, Jupiter into Cancer. They're a feel-good one.
Okay. How should we interpret that, and what seed do you think we should plant?
Well, we love it. It is our bright spot. It will run us through the first half of 2026. So let's use that lovely, beautiful energy and take as much momentum from it as we can get. And let's keep it simple. Let's plant seeds for optimism.
Oh, that lightens the load.
Yeah.
I love that. That's within that theme and that wheelhouse. Yeah. And I think that's a good note to really leave that on, to be honest with you.
We deserve it.
Yep. Plant seeds of optimism. Lastly, my favorite. We're going to get to Uranus moving into Gemini. With this type of energy, since we already know that there's going to be some type of shifts and changes in education, technology, and information that's going on from a collective scale, I think it would be very imperative to plant seeds of intentional information gathering. Do the work and put the effort into not just expanding the way that you think about things and digest information, but where you're getting that information from.
Yes.
So you can use your intuition for sure, use that discernment. But at the same time, if you're getting all your information from a non-reputable source, baby girl, lock in a little bit different. And that is not shame, but that is like we talked about before, the misuse of information is so destructive mm-hmm. to communities. Let's evolve yeah. out of that.
I love that. Gather information, diversify your information sources. And I like how you were just talking about community. Gemini is all about talking, communication, right? So mm-hmm. let's lean into discourse yeah. with our community. It is one of the best ways to open ourselves up to things and viewpoints we might not be understanding mm-hmm. and to be receptive to others, to share information in a way that's away from the screen, away from the algorithm. Mm-hmm. So I think Gemini does want us to chat. Uranus wants us to disrupt the way things are currently going with mm. information. So let's do it. Let's take control of it and yeah. share, and be receptive.
Yeah, be receptive.
And tie that back to the forgiveness from lesson one. Mm. Forgive discourse. Like, let's open up a little bit. We believe in our communities. We have optimism for the future.
Yeah.
People are very talk about all these energies in such a fear-mongering way. And like, I don't feel that fear on this couch in this moment at all. Mm-mm. It doesn't mean that it won't be challenging. Life inherently is, and the best lessons certainly come from that. But like, I do feel really prepared. And I feel that it's because even in real time in this moment, we're leaning into discourse, community, forgiveness. We're talking, mm-hmm. we're walking the walk that we want to be. Mm-hmm. So we just got to continue doing that.
Absolutely. I think it's like really beautiful, like bringing that up, because as we've talked about this energy more in depth and as it's gotten more complex, it has felt a lot more manageable. It has felt, I think there's a confidence that we have all started to begin to feel. And I hope that that's something that emanates to listeners and to the audience, back into that Saturn seed planting of have the courage, have the confidence to overcome the challenges that may arise from the transits, but know that this is coming to usher in useful change.
Yeah.
And so that leads us into our journal prompt.
Oh, I love this one. This is Tiani's, and it makes me happy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I think I'll actually share it this time. Then you have so much homework this week. You're thinking about the seeds that you need to plant and how they all kind of go together. Now that you know what seeds you're planting, what are your flowers going to look like once they bloom, you think? You know? And you can write an essay about it. You can draw it. You can dance it. You can dedicate an outfit to it. Yeah. Like, do what you need to do. Just envision, like, what's this flavor going to taste like? Ooh, if somebody made a meal to represent the seeds they're planting, like, send it to us. I'm trying to eat.
Certainly. And share in the comments, please. Like, yeah. I would love to see this. I think I love this journal prompt for so many reasons, because that visualization, that feeling, making it tangible. It's like we are not helpless. Mm. We are the people. Aquarius is bringing power to the people, and we are those people. And we have the ability to decide what our garden's going to look like. And so I love that you're inviting everyone to do that.
I got chills. I think I might cry. but thank you for listening and being with us here this episode. Yay. Okay. Until next time.
Until next time. Do.
You've been listening to Inner Orbit. This podcast is created and hosted by Tiani Harris and Taylor Starr, produced and edited by Chloe Goodman, with original music by Joseph Goodman. Be sure to like, subscribe, or follow wherever you're listening so you don't miss an episode. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at InnerOrbitPod or email innerorbitpod@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a rating, review, or comment. We want to hear what you think, and your engagement goes a long way helping this podcast reach a wider audience. Thanks again for listening.